Flip the switch. Sorry about that, gentlemen. Okay. Some people like to turn me off anyway, so that's all right. Okay, let's stand, if you will. We can read from the Bible if you're able. I know the title theme for the year has been Faith What? Faith is a Victory, so we're going to be looking about faith, okay, today. Verse 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal and a barrel and a little oil and a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. What a great passage. Lord, bless the word as we look at it tonight in this lesson time, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So, faith. I know that's seems to come up a lot, doesn't it? Uh-oh. Oh. Okay. There we go. Okay. See Elijah there waiting for the water to dry up and then sitting there and there's no more water. But if you're with us 2 weeks ago, we were looking at that. Last week, of course, we didn't have Wednesday night service. So the subject of faith. And faith may be the most common subject taught and preached in my ministry. In fact, I think I talked about it last Sunday. It just comes up all the time. It's the sole subject in Scripture. The Bible, we could title it Faith in Christ. If you want to call it Holy Bible, call it Faith in Christ, because that's what it's about. I guess I need to point this thing. You can find the subject of faith in almost every page of Scripture. It's there. God responds according to our faith. A little slow coming up here. Okay. Look a couple passages in Habakkuk. It's Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. I'm trying to get there myself. Habakkuk 2:4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. And Matthew 9, verse 2. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. So you see the response of the Lord according to our faith. And you can look at the other passages. Of course, at Hebrews 11:8, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So faith is clearly a key subject. The supreme subject of this chapter is the faith. We think of Elijah, but it's also the widow woman. I mean, it's an awesome. This is one of my favorite sections on Elijah right here. They're learning and growing in their faith. They both show forth faith, and they're growing their faith through circumstances. Yeah. And circumstances do help us. That's why God sends us through things, to help us, our faith to grow. I've preached on that subject come up in my preaching. It always does. And so don't look at certain circumstances you don't like with a a bad sort. Think of it, God's trying to build your faith. Now, what makes Elijah so remarkable in his ministry is his power, but that power comes because of his faith in the Lord. Yeah. That's the secret to his power. Now, faith can be categorized in four ways. I'll just run through this quickly. It can be a personal confidence in God, which may be saving faith, serving faith, or sustaining faith. Okay? Which we think of when we think of faith. Such kind of faith is dependence just upon God, period. I like that picture. Just letting God's hand take us. Faith can also be a doctrinal statement of faith or the faith. You know. Come on, there we go. A statement of faith. For instance, Romans 1:5, by whom we have received the apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Or another one there, 1 Corinthians 16:3, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. So he's talking about, you know, Baptists, this is our faith, okay? Okay, almost like a form of religion, okay? It can be more definitive as faithfulness, which is a work of the Spirit, you know. What is required in a steward, the Bible says, that a man be found faithful. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faith. Are you with me here? Everybody's looking like a deer with the headlights going on, okay? Now, come on. Okay, so that it can be a more faithfulness, and that's what God wants out of every one of us, is faithfulness. And also it can be a title belonging to Christ. For instance, Jesus, faith, hope, love, Christ. I mean, it's title of the Lord. Galatians 3:23, but before faith came, talking about Jesus, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Or Galatians 3:25, but after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Okay? So, but this particular section, we can see throughout Elijah's life, this is what's great about, I love preaching about Elijah and teaching about him like I'm doing here. You see his actions in his life, his history. And his history is a demonstration to us what it is to walk with God. And so his faith increases as his fellowship with God does. It's awesome. It's an awesome truth. Our faith will increase, really. By looking at Elijah, we can see that our faith will increase as we spend more time with the Lord. Okay? Our increased experiences with God will help us see how our view of the importance of faith grows. And that's, I love experiences. Don't you like it when you know something going on in your life that God's in it? And does that not grow your faith? It sure does. And that's why I'm seeing, you see here with Elijah, you see his faith grow. It's not that Elijah's a great man of faith from the beginning. He is a man of faith, but it grows throughout his lifetime. 2 Peter 1:2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. So it's going to be increased as we learn to know more about God and our experiences, okay? So let's get into this, okay? Faith and direction. Arise, get thee to Zarephath. What a statement. I mean, he's there at the brook. Remember, if you left with us 2 weeks ago, the brook dried up, and he stayed there. God didn't tell him to move yet. I don't know how long he stayed there. What? Maybe a day, maybe 2 days, probably not longer than that, you know, but no water, you know. And so where now? And so God says, arise, get thee to Zarephath. So we have to learn that there's no place that is outside the blessings of God. I say, what do you mean? Going to Zarephath, what's the big deal? You got to put yourself in the Jewish mind here, okay? If you've ever been to Israel, you'll understand this more. I remember the first time we were in Israel, we were in Caesarea at this big fancy hotel. And there is a Gentile side and a Jewish side, even in the restaurant. Okay. Now, some of the places we went, they just had kosher stuff, period. But this particular restaurant was more high class. And so we just walked over there to see what they had, what was going on. And they called, looked at us, they weren't mad at us. But it's almost, there's still the mindset of the Jews that if you're not a Jew, you're not as good. You're just not as nice a person. You're just not real, okay? And so here he's called to go to Zarephath. And, come on, there we go. Elijah finds the best place to be at that time is in a Gentile nation, not in Israel, with a Gentile woman, not with a Jew, and in a Gentile environment. That's a little strange, Here's Zarephath up there. I guess that's a point. Is that a pointer? No? I don't know what it is. I don't know where the pointer is. Anyway, up there you see Zarephath at the top and where he was down about where the brook Cherith was. And so he goes away and leaves the country according to God's will. Now, God's place may not be our choosing. That's where you got to surrender to God. I'd like to be, where does God want you to be? It wasn't there were no widows in Israel who could have helped Elijah. God can do anything, right? Okay. But God chose her to demonstrate God's love. God loves the world. That's never changed. He chose it. So what did he choose Israel for? To show his might, what he could do with a nation. You have to pick someone out to show what God can do. They're not any, God's no respecter of persons. The Jews might be, but God's not. And so chose her to demonstrate God loves the world and whoever puts their faith in the Lord. This widow woman. I left a passage. Look in Luke chapter 4. I thought I got that in there. Luke chapter 4. Verse 26. Notice it says, but unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Zarepta, a city of Zidon, talking about Zarephath, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias the prophet, and none of them was cleansed save Naaman the Syrian. So I'm just saying, God does still love the world. Don't worry about what the Jewish mind is. And so here, Elijah is being instructed on this thing of being sent there. Let's go back. I think I left that off. Oh, yeah. That I don't have a pointer. This was also a special rebuke. I like how John Whitcomb put it. To Queen Jezebel. Remember, she's the queen. For she never dreamed that Elijah would be hiding in her own homeland. God has a sense of humor too, doesn't he? Yeah, that's the last. They looked everywhere for Elijah. Couldn't find the guy. Well, he's up with a widow woman up by your across the street from your old house or something. Okay. And so that comes this. We must learn there are no geographical borders with God. See, God chose Israel for his kingdom. But in history, think about this. He's used Gentile nations to spread the gospel. For instance, England, America, Philippines, South Korea. It's sad to say America used to be well known for sending the most missionaries. But what two countries send more missionaries than America? South Korea and the Philippines. That's kind of a heartbreak knowing that. But anyway, so God uses Gentile nations to reach the world. Now, wherever the Lord sends us, we must go, knowing God's decisions are perfect. In And so, you know, we have missionaries like the ones get to Israel, turn around and come back. You feel sorry for them. There's the plan of God there. But understand, some of the places missionaries go are not pleasant at all. The Keks in Papua New Guinea, I love them, and they've been there faithful for so many years, and their kids too. And that is rough country, man. They get stuck in mud on the roads all the time. And big old four-wheel drives get stuck. It's just very, but they're happy in the Lord because they're where God wants them. And I could go on to that with a lot of missionaries. But anyway, it's always perfect if you're where God wants you to be. And we must not be limited to what we see as a basis for direction. Look in verse 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Now let's go back to verse 9. I want you to see this. It's going to kind of lead to this. Notice the last part, he tells Elijah, behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So remember I said, this is both about Elijah and the widow woman. So Elijah's faith is growing. This woman's faith is growing. Say, how did she know the Lord? I don't know. Bible didn't give us that detail, but apparently she knew the Lord, and God was helping her to grow in the Lord through this. So he said, there's going to be this, God told her, there's going to be this prophet coming up from Israel, and you're going to take care of him, you know. And she's probably thinking, okay, Lord, when are we going to feed him? You know, anyway. So we must not be limited to what we see as a basis for direction. So he arose and went to Zarephath. So think of these little things. We kind of looked at them, but I want you to look at the ramifications of all this to help you understand his faith. Number one, he is sustained by a widow woman, the poorest representative anywhere. She doesn't have anything. She got a little child to try and take care of. The poorest people, you know, they're poor today, but especially then, they didn't have any, food stamps and stuff like that. They just didn't have any of that stuff. Yeah, no welfare, none of that. And so here, he's called to go there. Second thing, he is to be sustained by a woman who has no assets. She's not just a widow woman. She has no assets. She's gathering sticks. She doesn't even have wood. And she has a small portion of oil in a flask and a handful of barley in a large, mostly empty barrel. And that's where he's supposed to go. So this is not a pleasant prospect from the human standpoint. Our sight should always be reevaluated by the potential of God. Think about that. What's God's potential? Yeah, unlimited. You know, there's no limit to that. And that's how Elijah looks at it. It's just incredible. Go look up at the sky in the middle of the night when it's shining. You don't see it too often this time of year, but when you can. I love astronomy. Man, it just blows my mind. God's even named all the stars. I look at these passages, Genesis 18:14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? God tells Abraham. At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Look in Luke 18. Verse 25. For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? Jesus said, the things which are impossible with God are impossible with men are possible with God. Praise God for that. So this unlimited thing, you know, his potential is incredible. Also, the fourth thing to notice, Phoenicia depended on Israel for much of its food. So Zarephath, The food didn't come from there. It came from Israel. And he's left Israel because there's nothing growing there. Okay, get this? So that looked bleak. But as Wiersbe said, we don't live on man's explanations. We live on God's promises. And just do what God says, regardless what how bad it may look. Okay? Number D. Therefore, we must have faith in God's instruments. This widow woman, okay? The most unlikely people God can and does use. I mean, Jacob, Gideon, David, even Peter, Paul. And here's a poor, desperate widow woman. Now, we think of those men like Gideon and David, we think of the great things they did, but remember where they came from. And so that potential, same, God can do anything with any one of us if we just let him. I mentioned if God can use a donkey, he can use you and I. That's right. It's the God of the character that's it. That is important. You understand what I'm saying? It's not you, it's the God of you that makes the difference. And I love the story of course, the donkey talking to him. Also, Elijah's faith is so strong, he doesn't hesitate to seek her help. Did you catch that? He comes in and he sees this widow woman. There he is. He doesn't look around, well, there's somebody else who might have more than she does. No, he goes right to her and requiring her to deliver him water. I mean, Elijah's faith acted in expectation of her obedience. So there's both, I mean, I love this. There's his faith in believing that she's the one. And there's her obedience that leads to her great faith by obeying what the Lord is saying through the prophet. And so it's just, boy, wonderful. Roman numeral 2, faith in God's provisions, verse 11. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal and a barrel and a little oil and a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. That's almost I don't know about you, it just almost wrenches my heart. You think of this woman, she has nothing. And there's faith in God's provisions. Man, God's going to provide, and boy, if he can do this, I think we're okay. Yeah? You know? It's a hallelujah time to see what God can do. So faith guided Elijah's speech. You say, well, this is crazy. He commands, and this command to her shows his humbleness. He said, now, wait a minute, humbleness is almost haughtiness. No, think about it. He trusts that God had commanded this widow woman. Remember, God told him. Remember, we read that back in verse 9. God told him, I've commanded this widow woman. So both she is believing what God has told her, and he's believing what God has told him about her. Okay? And so he commands, that shows his humbleness. He's surrendering to God. He trusts that God had commanded this widow woman to provide for him, as God said, so he speaks boldly. And I don't think she takes it as him being rude or demanding. She understands. Faith should always come first in our speech, regardless of our feelings. And your feelings, your heart goes out to this woman. And you want to say, you want to go help her. Isn't that how you be? You want to go, he's trying to gather sticks, this poor widow woman. But Elijah didn't do that. He's trusting God because he knows God's behind this whole thing. And he commands her. And it probably wrenches his heart trying to command her this way, but he knows it's of the Lord. Now, nothing in the way Elijah speaks to this poor woman seems ethical. But it's because Elijah is acting upon what God told him. Okay. Now, as I mentioned, obviously, God told this widow woman beforehand. And she has respect for God and this man of God he sent to her. And so she immediately doesn't question, doesn't look at him like, that's weird. No, she just does what she's told to do. So, now the widow woman, how faith guides her actions. In some ways, in this passage, I'm more impressed with her than I am Elijah. I don't know about you. I'm just saying her faith is great. You know, there's this almost a stark reality that'll challenge our faith. And she says, I just want you to know, Elijah, this is what we got. I'll do it. But here's how bleak it is. And we got enough for me and my son. We're going to make that. We were getting ready to make that meal and eat it and then die. but that's not all there is. Okay. Nee, I don't quote for him too often, but this is a great statement. Because of our proneness to look at the bucket and forget the fountain, God has frequently to change his means of supply to keep our eyes fixed on the source. You understand what I'm saying there? Yeah. Let's read that again. Because of our proneness to look at the bucket and forget the fountain, that's the Lord, God has frequently to change his means of supply to keep our eyes fixed on the source. And they're going to, when you get done with this, you know, it's God. This wasn't a happen chance. We didn't fix this thing up. This is God, okay? Now, faith must guide our actions over our fears. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. Now, if she makes that, what's left? Nothing, because it's a man. He needs more food. Sorry, ladies, that's just how it is. And bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. That's what a statement of faith. There's enough for me, but make it for you and your son after you're done with me. That's knowing what God's going to do. See. And so, it's expected that she fear. She's human. I admire her faith, but she's human. And he says, don't be afraid. Okay. But faith to obey beyond our fears is unexpected. It's one thing to have fear, but don't let it control you. God doesn't punish us for having fear. But when we step out in faith beyond our fears, that's what God wants. And that's what she does. Okay. Faith is also exhibited in Elijah to even make such a requirement. go make it for me first. And I'll sit here and wait, and then you feed me. And then when I'm done, you can go have you and your son have food. So, and so that comes to number three. Action of faith first is needed before God will bless us. That's why I say this is such a great thing about faith. Look at verse 14. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the bearer of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And so what did she do? She went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. Boy, God, you know, God doesn't bless. He takes care of our needs. He's good to us, but we have to act in faith first. And then we see the bounty come forth. That's why I always tell people on your tithe, write your tithe check before you pay any other bills. People say, I don't have money to tithe. I can't pay my bills if I do. Well, that's faith. God's going to bless according to faith. Same with your missions. You know, just write off the check. God will take care of the rest. Okay, So faith first. I don't know if you can see that. I'm used to having, I'm sorry, I've always had a big screen. Can you guys read that back there? Sometimes. I'm sorry, okay? The oil and meal wouldn't grow if she first didn't make the cake with what was left in the barrel. That's a very simplistic thought, but it's a powerful truth about faith. There was not going to, she's not going to go there and God's going to blow it up and say, oh, there's enough for all of us now. No, she had to feed him first. It was empty. She went back, okay? And so she had to commit both her and her son and her life into God's hands. Because remember, she was going to eat, and then when that ran out in their stomachs, they were going to die. Now it's not; they're not that place. They're just going to die. Except for God. Such faith doesn't allow for turning back if God doesn't supply. Because once it's gone, it's gone. And that's when God smiles, and man, he can't wait to bless you. Just step out beyond your means and watch what God will do. Number four, God's desires are always that we learn to act spiritually, not physically. Don't count the numbers. Don't try to figure it out and make it work out. Trust God. That's where faith is great. See, if God is who we believe him to be, then placing our lives in his hands when the outcome looks physically impossible, God smiles with provision. That's when God wants to act. That's always how he is. You look throughout Scripture, you'll find that's what it is. It's very strongly demonstrated here, but really, that is throughout Scripture. That's why, you know, we deal with Abraham, you know. Go slay your son. Well, the action of him coming down and God stops you. Wait, there's a ram in the thicket. Yeah, and the provision is there. Look in Matthew 6:33, familiar passage. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? All these things shall be added unto you. Yes. And Hebrews 11:6, which we quoted earlier, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Little B, I've had failures in my judgment and ambitions. Have you? But God has never failed when I stepped out in faith through him. Yeah. It's he never has. God's he's so good about that. Finally, number C, when we learn to act in faith, it becomes easier each additional time. This is like a joyous passage, verse 16. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Now, the first time it happened, when we learn to act in faith, it becomes easier each additional time. The first time, she acted beyond her fears. Right? Tilda, calm down, don't be afraid. God will take care of it. And so she did it. Okay? Then every additional day, this is where the joy comes, she anticipated with joy to see God's daily provisions. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, praise God. I like that picture, man. And another day, the food's coming down. And man, you can almost see the joy in her face when she goes over to the barrel to see the next round. You know? And you think every day it become, well, God's going to provide. Is she learning faith? Is she growing in her faith? Oh, big time, big time. See, this verifies serving God is a joy. There's no greater joy than to serve the Lord. There isn't. Man, you can have million, you know, many multimillionaires and billionaires are miserable people. It's not the money that makes you happy. It's serving God and acting in God and trusting God and seeing God work. That's where joy is. Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. 2 Corinthians 8. Verse 2 through 5. How that in a great trial of affliction, this is the churches of Macedonia, have been given sacrificially. The abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. Oh, wait, that don't go together according to the world's idea. If you're in deep poverty, you're supposed to be miserable. These guys are in great joy and deep poverty. Why? Abounding of the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power, they're willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. What a testimony. What a testimony. So the joy, it comes, doesn't it? Gabeline said this, the incident must have served not only as a source of great comfort for the woman, but also as a strengthening to Elijah's faith in God's providence. Both, like I say, they both grew in faith here. Isn't that awesome? Yep. Every day. And that little boy, I would constantly think about him, but think about how he was growing in the Lord, learning about how God was providing for them. Probably never forgot that the rest of his life. Yeah. In conclusion, our faith is what concerns the Lord. That is what will carry us through obstacles, because obstacles will come. If they aren't in them now, they'll come down the line. Just expect them. But our faith is what concerns God. If our faith grows as God wants, then it will strengthen us to finish the course with, there it is, joy. Amen? Have that joy in serving God. Yeah. Conclusion, look at these passages. Mark chapter 4. Storm at sea here. Verse 37, there arose a great storm of wind, the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, sleep on the pillow, and they wake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, now not for the waves. They said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obeyed him? They feared because of their lack of faith before the God himself there. Acts 20, I know it's past time here, I got to quit. Verse 24, Paul says, But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with what? Joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. And you can look 1 John 5:4 up at your leisure. So hopefully all of us can increase in our faith. I desire to increase my faith. I want God to increase mine. How about you? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, thank you for the word tonight. Thank you for the testimony of Elijah and this widow woman as it continues to instruct and guide us, Lord. Help us to understand the potential you have if we'll just put our faith in you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.